All right, so we are talking about the fear of the Lord and its connection with healing. So, and we the verse that I'm using right now is that is kind of like our reason to continue listening verse is in found in Proverbs, the third chapter. So if you turn there, Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs 3, and we're reading in verse 6 and 7 so that you can get an immediate reason for seeing that there is a direct connection between the fear of the Lord and health, okay? Proverbs 3, verse 7, seven and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It will be, that's a declarative statement, isn't it? It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones, amen? Amen. So there you go. That's your reason for listening verse. When we're talking about the fear of the Lord and its connection to health. Because everything we read is not going to show a direct correlation between the fear of the Lord and health. But we're going to be talking about the fear of the Lord. And the reason why we're addressing the fear of the Lord is because, as you can read in that verse, it has a direct connection to health. Thank you. One person got it. Okay, so it has a direct connection to health, right? So that's the reason why we're looking at the fear of the Lord. Now, I read to you last week, I'm not going to go back over them, but read the first several verses that we have in our list there. I ended in with Proverbs, Psalm 111, verse 10, Proverbs 9:10, Proverbs 15:33, and Proverbs 1:7, all of which just say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, okay, progressively. It actually goes from knowledge to understanding to wisdom. And we talked a little bit about the fact that knowledge is the accumulation of, and the understanding, I mean, the accumulation of data or facts, okay? Then understanding is the comprehension of those facts, and that wisdom is the enabling to be able to walk out what you now understand, okay? Let me say that again. Just in case there were not people here last time, there are people here now that weren't here last time, I'll say it one more time, it's very important, that knowledge is the accumulation of facts. You can go to Sunday school and learn all kinds of right answers about questions that I ask you, and bam, you can just spit out the right answer. That's facts, right? And they might be completely correct. Amen. In fact, they have to be correct to be a real fact. Isn't that true? Right? But that doesn't mean you have any understanding in it. It doesn't mean you're walking it, does it? So, knowledge is the accumulation of data, of facts. Understanding is the comprehension of those facts. And then wisdom is the enabling to walk out what you understand. All right? And so we kind of, just as a way of laying it out kind of like a classroom, if you are going to attend Knowledge 101, the first thing the instructor is going to teach you is the fear of the Lord. And then when you graduate from just basic knowing about him to understanding and comprehension, the first class, the thing they begin to teach you in understanding class 101 is the fear of the Lord. And when you graduate in your comprehension of God and go to beginning to walk out what you understand, the first thing, tell me, what do you think the first thing the teacher is going to teach you in Wisdom 101? The fear of the Lord. That's right. So it's the beginning of all of those, isn't it? The beginning of all those classes is the fear of the Lord. So would you agree with me? Must be important. Yes. Amen. Must be important. Okay, so here we're going to start in Proverbs, the second chapter. Proverbs, the second chapter. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." Doesn't show, or does it look like there's involved there an effort on your part? Yeah. Now, this is where you can get tripped up. If you are what I would call, and this is probably a real knee-jerk term at the moment, because there was actually an article written by a major magazine in the charismatic world that was labeled hyper-gracers and has gotten a really bad reaction from those that teach grace. And really, the guy that wrote the article, I think he got some things right and he got some things dead wrong. So they might want to go back and do some of his facts again. But nonetheless, I get where he was coming from. And if you were real, what I would call a hyper grace, I mean, in other words, you're not recognizing grace as God's influence upon the heart, but you're seeing it as a license to just do whatever you want to do. And that, you know, all sin's been dealt with, and so therefore it doesn't make any difference. That's, of course, a dangerous thing that Paul addressed, isn't it? Yeah. And you don't want to go anywhere near that. But if you were of that camp, you might be thinking, well, you know, I'm not to do anything. I don't do. We don't do. We don't have check-off lists. And you know, I've taught that. We don't want to have check-off lists because it's not about you modifying your behavior, but it is about God living through you. So is behavior important?
Yes.
And do you have to make yourself available for the work of God in you?
Yes.
It does require something, doesn't it?
Yes.
This is not apart from any response from you, is it? It does require relational trust. It requires investment of time, doesn't it? All relationships require time, don't they? Time to talk, time to listen. And in our case with the Lord, we've been given the Word of God to study what He's done in the lives of other people and then seek His face, right? The Scriptures are not His face, but they point us in the right direction, don't they? They tell us, if I can read what God says to other people in here, then I get a good idea what He probably won't say to me if I'm seeking His face. Amen? Amen. So the Scriptures are a great guideline, but they are not the life of God, are they? He said, you know, you search the Scriptures thinking in them you're going to find life, and you refuse to come to me that you might find life.
Right?
They are what talk about me, and you won't come to me. But I want you to see here, the wording here does make it clear, you do have a participatory part in this progress towards the fear of the Lord. So let's start at the beginning again. My son, if you receive. Jesus used those words in Mark, the 4th chapter. We talked about the sower and the seed, right? And he said, you know, he talks about the seed and that falling on the ground and just kind of goes boink, 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 boink on a hard heart, right? It's not received into the ground at all. Another one kind of falls into the cracks of a stony heart, and then it'll spring up immediately because it has no depth of earth. When opposition comes for the word's sake, immediately that heart becomes offended because it thought it was all about it. And most of Christianity is living in a cracky heart right there. Amen? That's the truth. Then there's those people that really do love the Lord, and they receive the word of God, but they also allow into that same heart the care of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and other things entering in along with the word. So this heart is being undiscriminate, isn't it? They have a non-discrimination policy in their heart. Anybody who wants to sow anything in my field, knock yourself out. I'll receive God's word, but I'll also receive the devil's word and anybody else's word who wants to succeed in this heart. Right? Very, very open. The Bible calls that in the book of Proverbs a simple person. Proverbs, the 8th chapter. How long will you simple ones love your simplicity? How long will you love, the actual word in the Hebrew is where you love being naive. And if you read the symptoms of a naive or a simple person, it's someone that falls for anything. Anything's allowed in their garden, right? This is not a good thing, amen? The Bible talks about in the New Testament that a person that's undiscerning allows anything into their heart. It says in the book of Psalm as well that talks about the fact that those kind of seeds are planted inside the heart and they spring up, but they don't really have any substance. Well, they don't have any real substance towards godliness because it also grows up with weeds and thorns and thistle, doesn't it? And what winds up happening? The thorns and the thistles will choke out the word. Isn't that what the Bible says in that in Mark 4th chapter? And then the last one is the one who receives the word of God with a good heart. So you can receive it with not so good of a heart, right? But he's looking for those who receive it with a good heart. That is those who receive the word. That's the first one. That's the first requirement, right? And then they not only receive it, but they cultivate it. In other words, they cherish that word. They do what a mother does with a baby. They incubate that. Amen? And they cherish what's going on inside of their womb. Amen? This is something that they take lightly and just say, well, I think I'll knock back 15 beers today and run a mile and do this and do that. They're not abusing their body. They're doing everything they can to create an environment where that child can grow unchallenged, right? That's the most, they're trying to make that environment as wholesome and fruitful for the growth and development of that baby as possible. That's a good heart with the Word of God. It's doing everything it can to see to it. I don't care what comes and says something into my heart. No, 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 no. You have to plant someplace else because this is cleared for the kingdom of God. Only kingdom of God stuff is planted here. Sorry. Amen. They're guarding that, aren't they? Amen. Isn't that what Abraham did when God cut the covenant with him? He shooed the vultures away. He protected that area. Amen. And that's the same idea of this kind of a heart. Yeah, Brother Rob.
One of the things they
told us at Rhema about sharing what God gives you prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might get excited when God gives you a word, but that word may not be for anybody else
mm-hmm.
yet.
Yeah.
That word is first for you.
That's
and,
right.
And you should let it grow on the inside of you. And he yes. said it's like, well, a woman, when she's pregnant,
yeah,
it needs to grow and develop on the inside of her. And there is an appointed time for delivery.
That's right.
You know, so
to debut to the world. Amen.
Right. You know, so mm-hmm. Just allow it. That time to grow on the inside of you, and as the word says, you know, the meditation of my heart brings understanding.
Yes.
So God gives you a word, you know, don't just, you know, blab everything that, you know, the mm-hmm. first opportunity you have,
yeah.
you know, as soon as God gives it to you, meditate on it, think on it, you know, allow the Lord to grow it on the inside of you,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, one day, you won't be able to keep it in.
That's right. Rather than being a walking dictionary and just tell other people things you learned in Knowledge 101, you ought to go be wisdom of God to a person. Amen? Jesus Christ was made unto us wisdom from God. And that was said in 1 Corinthians. So rather than telling them what you know, go live it in front of them. Now they have a testimony. And by the way, if you want a little bit of a challenge, look up the word good report in the New Testament. You'll find it's all directly connected to what you do, not towards praying for one. There's never an example of that in the whole scriptures. What we're looking for is your testimony is the good report. You don't pray for a good report. You are the good report. What did the Bible say? By faith, the elders obtained one. They didn't. And what the Word of Faith movement does is says, well, that means by faith they believed for one. No. Their life was a demonstration of relational trust, and that testimony of relational trust is the good report. The word good report just means the testimony, a person's personal testimony. It doesn't mean a good report on a report card. It's talking about the testimony of a person's life was good. Well, how do I know that was good? Because they lived a life of faith. They were the good report. They were praying for one. They were one. Hello? Are you with me? That's a good word, whether you receive it or not. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Well, the thought came to me a minute ago, and I think the word that the Lord keeps bringing back to me is a yielded heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has to,
it's a good word. You're right.
It has to just soak up everything.
Mm-hmm. Receive that word. I like the word too. Very good. Submitted, yielded, absolutely. Yes. We certainly can't be walking contrary to that word, can we? Certainly can't have a stubborn heart. We want to be in agreement with it. Yes, ma'am.
Just quickly, I know you probably have used this before. Yes, I think you even have, but I don't know if that's one of the things he uses, the word he uses to define receive is embrace.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that brings a very personal relationship yeah. when you're embracing them.
Yes.
What someone has to say, or what someone communicates, and said, embrace my words, and his word, if you put it in as a capital W,
yes.
Jesus,
yes.
it doesn't have to be a small W.
Absolutely.
It's a definite.
Yeah, because if you receive even the written word.
A different picture in my mind.
I agree with you. I love it. That's the reason why I use rely so often instead of faith, not because it's different, but it conjures a different image for me that aids me. I agree. Absolutely. Love the word embrace. Yeah, go ahead.
We are living epistles.
We are living epistles. We are the report. Isn't that right? And it's not always good, but we can be.
Yeah.
Amen? We can be a good report. So, okay, let's go. Keep on going. My son, if you receive my word. So this is conditional. And treasure. So this is very much like a pregnancy, isn't it? Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Treasure my commandments within you, so that you, so if you're doing this, you're going to also do this, right? If you receive my words, and if you treasured them, so that it creates a heart that's inclined, or an ear that's inclined to wisdom, and you wind up applying your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out aloud, for discernment, and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as you would silver, and search her out as you would hidden treasure. So there's a lot of ifs here. Would you not agree with me?
Yeah.
No, I mean, we can skip on to verse 5, and that's a great verse. But if you don't do 1 through 4, you have no business camping on 5. Can you agree with me? You need to be hungry. You need to be submissive. You need to be receiving. You need to be seeking and treasuring. Amen? You're going to be busy, aren't you?
Yeah.
Amen? Now, you notice all those are responses. God's not asking you to be the one planting the word in your own heart. God does that. Now, if you do it, it's just going to be logos, because that's all you can do. Hear me? Hello?
Yeah.
All you have the power. You and I do not have the power to create rhema. It doesn't exist in the realm of your power. You cannot turn logos to rhema. You have not power to do that. Only the Spirit of the living God can do that. Amen? So it's one thing to receive the Word of God that you found in a Strong's Concordance search. Quite another. Everybody say it with me, quite another.
Quite another.
For the Holy Spirit to speak that word into your heart. Amen? That is the seed. Treasure that. Amen? Treasure that. Now, will the Lord work together with your Strong's Concordance search? Yes. God's all about you being diligent. But some of us that have been diligent for too long need to dial back and realize this is really the reins are in God's hands, not yours. And those of that have been too slack about it need to get back into your Strong's. See, there's a middle ground there, you understand? Because if we're not careful, we'll get into a rut on one side of the road or the other, won't we? We'll become just lackadaisical and just say, well, God doesn't tell me, I'm not going to do anything. And the other person's going to say, well, if I don't study, God couldn't tell me anything because God depends upon me doing my strong search. Well, no, he doesn't. You realize God can talk to people. He was talking to people before there was ever a Bible, much less an indexed Strong's Concordance to tell you about the Bible. Isn't it true? So God doesn't depend upon either one of them, doesn't need either one of them to speak to you. Amen? That's the truth. Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. How many of you, I asked last Wednesday, I'm asking you again, how many want to get on that bus?
Yes.
I do. I want the fear of the Lord, not just because of that it's going to affect the health of my flesh and the strength of my bones. I want it because I want from the core of my being to do what we read, sang in the last song. And I know how often, at the end of the day, I know how times I've failed. Anybody else with me on that? I want to live like that. Amen? Well, that means it's also a future goal. And even if I did everything the right way that day, because of I was surrendered the whole day to the working Spirit of God, I could still do more tomorrow. Amen? Because I grow in my understanding. Because I, even in my best day, my best last day on earth, will still be looking through a glass dimly. Isn't that true? It is true. So I can always get better. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's a good thing. Would you not agree with me? For the Lord gives wisdom. Now I know that we just brought up the fear of the Lord, but we're not done because he keeps on going with more important stuff here. Because he uses the word for there, doesn't he? So he's building on this thought, isn't he? Let's read five again and go on to verse 6. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. If you've done 1-4, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. I know about you, but I am aiming at 1-4. Amen? So can you understand why I'm reading this verse? Yes? Okay, and these verses? Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Boy, I'm telling you what, now that's good stuff right there. You say that your personal time seems dry. Well, you're not finding the knowledge of God. You're finding knowledge about God. That's why it's dry. Well, you need to go back to verse 1-4. I need to go back to from verse 1-4, amen? For the Lord gives wisdom. Well, don't we read that in the book of James? But what does that guy in the book of James have to do? Just sit back, because God, if God wants to give me wisdom, I mean, I'm not going to turn this into a work, so I'm just going to wait until God gives me wisdom.
No,
we don't want to be dumb on the other end of the street either, do we?
No.
The Bible tells us very clearly, under the covenant of grace, ask, right? Amen. You do have to play a part here, don't you? But it better not turn into a checkoff list or a work. Amen. Go to him and say, you know what? I don't have it. That's not a bad confession. It's a true one. I have no wisdom about this, and I need it. And Lord, I am trusting in you that you're going to give it to me. Your word says so. Amen. Okay. So here he says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So who is it that's teaching the Spirit of the Lord bit? The Lord himself, amen. The Holy Spirit is taking from, Jesus receives from the Father what is from the Father, and then Jesus gives to the Holy Spirit what's given to us. So ultimately, it comes from the Father, but it comes through the Spirit, doesn't it? Amen. That is the agency through which we receive the words of knowledge, words of understanding, the words of wisdom. Thank you, Jesus. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Oh man, that's good. Amen. Sound wisdom. That means it's not just something you can walk in. It's solid under your feet. Is that good or what?
Yeah,
I mean, this is wisdom you can walk in and know that the ground is not going to give way underneath you. Amen? Mm-hmm. Sound wisdom to the upright, for he is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Oh, there's another part. Dog ear. Like a mark there. Does he do it for everyone? Does he just do it for those that are positionally righteous because they're born again, but they live any way they want? No, for those who walk uprightly. Not just for who you are, but for what you do. It's not a quid pro quo. It's coming based out of relational trust in God. Because I am walking, if I were producing this uprightness, it wouldn't be uprightness, would it? It'd be a product of my own hands, my own strength, my own tenacity. That is not acceptable before the throne of God. But if I walk upright, if I by the Spirit will put to death the deeds of the body, I'm walking uprightly, am I not? And I'm doing that by the power of the Spirit, like that verse says, aren't I? So that's what this verse is ultimately talking about, okay? For he is a shield to those who walk uprightly, or you could say walk in the Spirit. Do you think if you're walking in the Spirit, you'd be walking uprightly? Yes. I think that's a self, a safe statement. He guards their path, guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Oh, I'm liking this already, aren't you? He preserves my way. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Man, this just keeps getting better, doesn't it? It just keeps getting better, I said, doesn't it?
Yes.
He says here, then, if you just do these simple things, just, I mean, really, 1-4, couldn't it be wrapped up in, if you just fall in love with me, if you just like me more than other things, right? If you would just, if your heart would just bow in loyal adoration to me, count me your Lord and not bow down to other things, whether it be your need to tell people about whatever, whether it be your need to grovel in self-pity, whether it be your need to assert yourself and become someone of self-importance, whether it be your need to pay your bill, whether it be your need to restore that relationship, whatever it happens to be, whatever your need, quote-unquote, is, right? But if you put the Lord first, now what it says in Matthew, that if you just seek first the kingdom of God, not seek first these other things, what does that verse say? Your God, your Father's not stupid. He knows you have need of these things. But as for you, you seek first the kingdom of God. Amen? And right standing in that kingdom. And then all these things that you need, not the stuff you want. He didn't mention that in those verses, did he? Let's not add to that. But those things that you need, your daddy will take care of you. Your papa's got you covered, doesn't he? Amen? He guards the paths of the just and preserves the way of his saints. Thank you, Jesus. Then you will understand righteousness. Well, I want to get there. It, to me, it's not enough to have it. I'd like to wrap my head around it, right? What does it mean to be right with God? I mean, I could give you a Webster's definition for it, but I'd much rather give you an example of it in my life to understand it. You know what I mean? It's a big difference between the two, isn't it? I mean, you can look up all kinds of stuff and explains all kinds of stuff and sound brilliant, but if you haven't walked it, it's not worth anything, is it? I want to understand righteousness. I want to understand not just that it's just, but why it's just. See, the children of Israel knew the stuff God said, but they didn't know his ways. And that's why they were overcome in the wilderness, because they had no faith, because they didn't know him. They knew about him. They could tell you all kinds of stuff. They could spin yarns for a mile telling you the stuff they'd seen, the stuff God did, right? But you know, and this is also a condition in the body of Christ. When you find the things that you're saying of things that God has done are more in the past tense than the things that he's doing, you're remembering a memory, not experiencing a relationship. Amen? God's in the now. I don't know where you are. I don't know where I am, but God's in the now. If I haven't encountered him in my moment by moment, then it, what difference does it matter if I met him a year ago? If I met him at an encounter 4 or 5 years ago, what difference does that make if I'm not meeting him today? Amen? Because God's living in the now. It doesn't matter how bad I screwed up a minute ago. That's behind me. What I have right now is my now. And if in my now I'm reliving my minute ago, I'm not even enjoying my now, am I? I'm wasting that one too, aren't I? Amen? No, did you follow that? I know it's kind of a weird one, but you follow that? See, I got a science brain, so I get the whole time bit. But, you know, if you did follow that, makes sense?
Yeah.
If I do not live with God in my now, then I lost that one too. If my whole relationship with God is based on my yesterday, then I have no relationship. I just have a memory. Memory and relationship are not the same thing. Relationships are now. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, that would have been worth the price of admission right there. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Living in the right now with God. Thank you, Jesus. I want to know you in the now. I do not want to my life be all about knowing from yesterday. So done with that kind of garbage. I need to know him right now. Right now. Amen. Have him real right now. Because it doesn't make any difference what I even knew 5 minutes ago. I need to know him right now. Amen. Living in that place. And you know that's the invitation. And God does not give false invitations. Amen. He's willing and desiring to live in the now with you. He's excited over you. The Bible says he rejoices over you with singing. He spins and twirls is the wording in the Hebrew. He does this. I would fall down if I did that. But he twirls and goes, woo, about you. Amen. He's excited about you in the right now. You don't have to try to get him interested in you. He was interested in you before you were ever you. Amen. Before you were ever a glimmer in your mother's eye, before there was ever an earth, you were the delight of his heart. The meditation of his heart all the day. I can't wait to get my hands on them. He adores you. He wants to live in the now with you. And don't you soggy and screw up your now by remembering a moment ago. Because that's behind you. Don't ruin your now. Amen? Right. That deserves more than my mom. Yes. Amen. Amen. There you go. Amen? That deserves right now relationship with God. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Man, that's a fat verse, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can understand every good path. I mean, can you feel your cranium swelling here? You know what I mean? I mean, you're just, your comprehension. You're getting it. This isn't any theory. This isn't just knowledge. This isn't a book you've read. You get this.
Getting understanding.
Amen. You're getting understanding and a path you can walk in, which is wisdom, isn't it? Amen. Thank you, God. When wisdom enters your heart, amen, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Well, I got to tell you, if knowledge is pleasant to your soul, you'll find yourself studying. I'm not saying that you're ever going to get to a point where it's your A1 favorite thing to do. I'm just saying that when you're hungry, you want to know. You know what I mean? It'll drive you. I've heard Jim say several times that it's driven him to do something. He just doesn't care to do that much, you know? But it will drive you, won't it? Mm-hmm. If you become hungry, it'll drive you there. Amen? And he said, and it's not God with a whip at your back. It's him with his arm around your shoulder. Amen? How many of you would love to have a walk to Emmaus with Jesus? Mm-hmm. Have him explain everything from Genesis through Malachi to you and how he was the fulfillment of it. On a bright sunny day, walking to Emmaus.
I think it's back to where, embracing the words.
Absolutely. Hearing him speak them, amen? Right. Not just hearing what somebody else. Again, if I just live in the words that Abraham spoke, that's not even my memory. That's somebody else's. Yeah. Right? I can't live in that. That's not a story big enough to live in for me. Right. The only story big enough to live in for me is right here in God speaking to Mark's heart. Amen? Amen. That's where life is found. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will wind up preserving you and understanding will keep you. You know, that's awesome because I've experienced that right there.
Mark?
Yes.
Isn't there a verse that says, see me today while I may be found?
Yes, absolutely. Hebrews. Yeah. Absolutely. Today while I may be found. Yeah, because that obviously implies you can't find them anytime you just darn well please. Isn't that right?
I was just making a connection with the now.
Oh, you're right. Absolutely. Right now, in the moment the invitation is given. Let's read verse 10 again. 10 and 11. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. I tell you, I've had times when I've been intimate with the Lord. And then an opportunity that is my sin that easily besets me. You know what I mean? That thing gets in my way where it may be a knee-jerk trigger reaction to get upset with somebody or think the wrong thought or say the wrong words or whatever happens to be that thing. You know what I mean? And that crops up and the invitation comes in front of me. I finally recognize that as the invitation to sin and where I am as where I am. You know what I mean? In other words, I see sin as out here. And it's an option now. And I get this understanding that keeps me. You know, that's not you. You could do that, but then you're living a lie because that's not who you are. You know, you could yell and fly off the handle at that person, but that's not who you are. You know, you want to act like you're not my son. Well, that's not the best advice you've ever followed, but you could do it. It doesn't change the fact you're my son, but you're not acting like him. Amen? That's not who you are. Come on, let's do the right thing. You know what I mean? And that's exactly the way it comes on the inside. It doesn't always come with all those words, but it's that kind of a thought rises up in your heart, and you realize, you know what, this is an option. Sin doesn't lord over me. This is a choice. I ain't got to do that. And all of a sudden, you recognize I am free from that. You know, what before didn't even seem like an option, now is your freedom. You're free from it. You realize that, you know what, I don't have to do that. You know, you've been lying to me this whole time. I thought that was me doing that. But Paul said, if I sin, it's no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Well, we're not talking about our flesh, are we?
No.
No, that's the last thing that's getting redeemed, isn't it? The redemption of the purchased possession in Romans 8 is my body. We will get that in that day, and you will not get it before. Amen? But, you know, right now, we've got the redemption of our soul. We receive or embrace the grafted word of God. Now, why is it engrafted? God used that word on purpose. Because you can't graft something that's not like the root stock into it. Amen? God, when he grafts his word into me, it sticks and it takes because I'm like him. I'm not unlike him. If God was grafting something foreign and genetically incompatibly, it would die, wouldn't it? All you would have is a wounded tree. But what do you have when God grafts his holy word inside the heart of a believer? It begins to grow that fruit out, doesn't it? Amen? Isn't that true? And it only does it because you've got that you share in his likeness. You share in his nature. You're not unlike him. You're just like him. Amen? That's why it engrafts. It takes. Amen? Did you have something, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, you think about trying to have an intellectual conversation with someone over a period of time to get them to an understanding of God and his ways and how he works in your life. But if they haven't responded to the very first thing, which is, you know,
the fear of the Lord.
Yeah, the fear of the Lord and yielding yourself in submission to his lordship.
Mm-hmm.
If they haven't received that,
yeah,
then they don't have the right rootstock, I guess.
That's right.
What I'm saying. So they're more conversation is not going to win them because
they
haven't accepted the very first
principle. That's principle. Exactly right. Absolutely. The first invitation they received is, honor me. Honor what I said. Believe what I said. That is, the first step into the kingdom of God is an act of the fear of the Lord. It's showing deference and honor to the thing that otherwise, if I'm living in my flesh and continue to live in that pattern, would be a scandal unto me. It'd be a stumbling block to me, an offense to me. And I choose to rely upon what he said instead of being offended at what he said. What I just did is I honored him. I was walking in the fear of the Lord. Amen? It's the truth. And see how simple really it is? It's not really, it sounds high-minded and haughty, but it's really very simple. It's very relational, isn't it? Okay, we're going to read 10 and 11 again just because it's good, okay? When wisdom enters your heart, that's where it's going, amen?
Yeah.
And knowledge is pleasant to your soul. You say that, just say it out loud after me. Say, knowledge is pleasant to my soul. Okay, that's a good thing, amen? Okay? Discretion will wind up preserving you. Understanding will wind up keeping you. Oh man, that's just good, isn't it? To deliver you from the way of evil. And from the man who speaks perverse things. That's awesome.
Yes.
God has set us up for success. Amen. To bear the image of his son. He has set you up for success. From those who leave the paths of uprightness. Well, we're not going to do that because, remember, we understand the path of uprightness, don't we? We get it. And so, you know, if someone comes, and they will, and begins to speak into your heart, like Jesus was talking about with the good shepherd, that, you know, my sheep, you know, they know my voice, and the voice of a stranger, they're going to discern. They know that's not the path of uprightness, and they will not follow it. Amen? Amen? Who, he says, so from those who lead the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Well, we don't do that kind of garbage, do we? No, no, no. Who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of wickedness, whose ways are crooked, and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman and from the seductress that flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. So it delivers you from all of that stuff, doesn't it?
Yes.
You're saying that's a pretty safe thing then.
Yes.
The fear of the Lord is a wise choice.
Yes.
Would you agree with me?
Yes.
So I'm making my focus verse 1 through 4. So let's go back and read it again, because that's all the if stuff, right? And you notice that the package of the stuff you get, if you just do the ifs in 1 through 4, is substantial, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You're making a very small, mighty small investment, and you're getting a huge return. Amen? Let's read verse 1 through 4 again then. My son knows he calls you a term of intimacy and ownership. My daughter. Amen? If you, he's not talking to anyone else in this room, he's talking right to you. You, right? If you, my son and daughter, will receive my words and treasure my commands within you. Don't look at them as a rod of correction over you, but treasure them within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding why I said what I said. Yes, if you will cry out for discernment and lift up your voice, don't be silent about it. God's not silent about you. Don't be silent about your relationship with Him. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Indicate that you're hungry for Him. Amen? Show that it matters to you. Say something to Him. Lift up your voice for understanding. If you will seek it as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This is kind of like a hide and seek with God. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that God is a God who hides Himself. Which is why the Bible says that if you'll seek Him, you will find Him, because He's not very far from every one of us. Amen. God is the adult. I've used this example at least 3 times before. God is the adult playing with children hide and seek. Amen. They don't try hard. They want them to be found, because that's what makes the kid giggle, right?
Yeah.
That's what delights their heart,
yeah,
is finding mama, papa, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And God knows that if you're the delight of His heart, then he knows that, you know, if you're seeking after Him, then he must be the delight of your heart. And He's not going to hide hard so it's hard to find Him. He's going to be hiding, like, He's going to be sitting over there, and He's going to take the lampstand and stick it on His head. You know, that's going to be His degree of hiding.
Yeah.
It's going to be obvious where He is, right? And you're going to go over there and grab Him and say, Papa! And He's going to go, oh, you found me again, right? This is what God's doing. He's inviting you to run after Papa. And because He wants you, He needs you. You need you to have some skin in the game. He's not going to come up and crawl up in your lap. He's Daddy. You need to come to Him. You need to seek Him out. You need to have some skin in the game, don't you? Amen? Because you're not going to treasure what's just handed to you. Isn't that true? It's the truth. It really honestly is true. But man, you have to seek out God, and you find Him because He's the delight of your heart. And how you can spend the rest of your life playing hide and seek with God. Amen? Maybe a childish analogy, but you get what I'm saying? Because God is delighted in those that seek after Him. Amen? He's delighted in that. I don't know about you, but that delights my heart, that God's delighted in me finding Him. He's not going to say, seek me, and I'm going to hide so hard that you're going to spend the rest of your life looking for Him. You may not find me. No, God is not like that. I said, God is not like that.
Amen.
He is easy to find. Thank you, Jesus. He's so easy to find. God does not. He's not good at this game. He's easy to find, right? Okay, Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. Let's start in verse 12. Now, this is a personification of wisdom. I do not know for a fact whether or not wisdom is actually a spirit or not. The scripture seems to imply that it actually is a real spirit. Okay? It talks about the 7 spirits before the throne of God. I mentioned that 2 weeks ago. Okay? And it does use the word spirits. You realize in heaven there's more than just spiritual horses and angels and cherubs and seraphims. There's things that you've never thought. Eyes not seen, ears not heard. Amen? And ear has heard that there are 7 spirits before the throne of God. Haven't we heard that? The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of discernment, the spirit of knowledge. 3 of the ones that we're supposed to seeking. 3 of the ones that were on Jesus when He was through the earth, right? Do you not have evil spirit that have names? An evil spirit of deception. An evil spirit of lying. I mean, what happened with the king King Ahab, when he was going to go out into battle against Ramoth Gilead? One of the spirits that was before the throne of God said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets and deceive him into going into battle. And God said, go and do it and you will prosper. Right? So are there spirits that have names, and their job is to do what their name is? To lie or to deceive or to do what? There's a spirit or the angel of death, wasn't there?
Yeah.
That was not a good one, right? And they went through all of Israel, and anyone that didn't have the blood on the doorpost, they were struck dead by the spirit of death. Is everybody with me?
Yeah.
So there are spirits, aren't there?
Yeah.
So now, am I trying to gridlock you into the idea that maybe it might be metaphorical? I don't know, it might be, but the scriptures don't seem to make it sound that way.
Right.
So I'm just going to take it like it's read.
Right, yes.
Right or wrong, amen? Yeah. And it's not going to be a doctrinal issue to me. All
right,
but we'll just see what it says here. And so wisdom actually has a voice. And it says here, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. In other words, they're bunkmates. They live in the same room. They live in the same house together. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Well, I'm already learning something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverse mouth. I hate it, wisdom says. I don't dislike it. I hate it. I just got into a series of posts back and forth with some people the other day, and they were all about how God doesn't hate. I'm like, have you read your Bible?
Right.
Like, I don't even have to look hard, and you can find tons of places where God hates.
Right.
You can find tons of places where God is angry, not just at sin, but at the people sinning. It says it clearly in black and white. Angry with that generation. Not with the things they did, but with the people. So that I swore in my anger against them, you will not enter into my wrath, my rest.
Right.
I mean, this doesn't even take a hard scripture search. I didn't have to look that one up. It popped in my head, right? You know what I mean? And when I do look it up, you get pages of this. Is God got emotions? You bet he does. And are they all favorable? No. They would be if you were a good kid. If the whole world just loved him and honored him as he honors them in the world, you wouldn't provoke an evil emotion, not an evil emotion, but a base emotion back at you. Amen? But God does react towards evil. He is angry at it. God poured his wrath upon Jesus. That means that God doesn't take sin passively, does he?
Amen?
The Bible actually uses the word, the chastisement for our ability to walk in agreement with God was placed upon Christ. The word chastisement means the punishment of. God punished Jesus with the cost of what it enabled you and I to be able to walk in agreement with God. He was punished with that. And it pleased God to do it. Jesus, we just don't know. Amen? We just don't know. We have no idea.
That's so hard to understand.
It is hard to understand, but that's love right there.
Yeah.
God so loved.
Yeah.
God commanded, herein is love, that God commanded his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the wicked and the ungodly. Yeah. Jesus, I definitely fit that mold. And he died for me. He bore the punishment for me. When God, it says, when God saw the anguish of his soul, he was satisfied. Jesus was in anguish in his soul, not just in his body, but in his soul was tormented on the tree. For me, for my sake. And it pleased the Lord. Don't you let your countenance fall. It pleased the Lord to do that for you. It pleased Jesus to offer himself to God for that reason. Everybody out of that equation was pleased. Amen? And when you begin to walk like him, you would gladly spill your lifeblood for your brother and your sister. Amen? You would gladly pour your lifeblood for your God. Amen? You wouldn't have to require it of you. You do it. God would say, I need a volunteer. You'd be running to the front of the line. Amen?
Yes.
It would be my honor, yes. Father, to die. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's the fear of the Lord, honoring him more than me. Amen? That's, and only a person that sees things clearly can do that. But if you understand, like we read earlier, oh, you'd be running the front of the line. If you'd be running the front, no one would have to ask you, you would be running to the front of the line. Amen? Anyway, let's keep on reading here. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth. I hate it. Counsel is mine. This is one of the reasons why when I was 12, 13, 14, I loved wisdom. Because when I read all the stuff that wisdom got, I'm like, I need wisdom. Because if I get wisdom, I'm going to get all this other stuff. I'm going to find out prudence. I'm going to get knowledge. I'm going to get discretion. I'm going to get counsel, sound wisdom, understanding, strength. This is not a bad package, is it? Amen? So I'm thinking wisdom is a good thing. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. That's why I told you earlier, wisdom is to walk out what you comprehend. Wisdom is understanding. Understanding is knowledge. Knowledge is just knowledge. But understanding is the comprehension of facts. Right? But wisdom is how to walk it out. Amen? I am understanding. Right? If a person was walking in wisdom, they would comprehend the wisdom of God, comprehend the understanding of God by viewing your life. You became unto them wisdom from God. Jesus, that's better than you know. You are a good testimony. You are the report card. You became a good report. Amen? I hope I was getting that. That was kind of like the theme of the day. I wasn't expecting that, but it's Sesame Street's word of the day. Verse 15. By me, kings reign, and rulers decree justice. Would you say that maybe if you were a judge in this land, you need to be sitting right there daily at the door of wisdom?
Absolutely.
Amen? You don't want wisdom having to search you out. Now, if you were to read earlier in this chapter, let's just stop right where you are. I'm not going to read all of it, but just back up. God's so good. Can anybody say that with me?
Yeah.
God is so good that wisdom will actually seek you out when you're too stupid to search for Him. Aren't you glad? Because if God had not done that, nobody, isn't that what God said? Nobody applies their heart to seek after God. Nobody did. If you found God, it's because He sought after you. You might have thought it was the original idea with you, but who planted it there? God. Amen? God sought you out. If you're born again, God sought you out. If you are lost and spend eternity apart from God in hell, God still sought you out. God seeks everybody out. He loves them all, doesn't He? Does not wisdom cry out? This is 8:1. Does not wisdom cry out? So I have to look hard for wisdom? Because He's wise, He's going to act a lot like God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And understanding, does it not lift up its voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths come together. She cries out in the gates where judgment takes place, right? And at the entrance of the city doors, at the entrance of its doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Thank you, God. It's seeking us out. O you simple or naive ones, understand prudence. Oh, you just got rhema right there if you'd listen. He just gave you the ability to get unstupefied.
Yeah.
I don't even know that's a word, but I like it. Right? That was an invitation to become unstupid. Right? To quit being simple. What's He say here? Oh, you simple, naive ones. I'm giving you understanding and prudence. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a package you better tear into, right? This is birthday and you need to rip that prison open, amen? And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Now close your eyes just for a minute. Use your sanctified imaginations here. Go back to the seashore after Jesus just got done preaching. And Jesus comes up to a person that's afflicted with a sickness or afflicted with a demon. And He says, be made whole. And you see that demon just jump out of them or that sickness just jump off of them. Or go over there to the hillside where Lazarus is still bound up inside that gravestone, behind that gravestone. And He says, Lazarus, come forth. And you can just see the just ground shake and out comes. He's bound, and it's probably the power of God just lifts that guy up and floats him outside of that stupid tomb, and he's right there by the command of God. Amen? Those powers, those words are not weak, are they? They are power and mighty. Amen? And what does wisdom do? He cries out, and He says, you simple ones, be of an understanding heart. All of a sudden, you're not dumb no more. Amen? He says, gain prudence, and all of a sudden, you've got prudence. He says to you, and to the fools, He turns around and says, have an understanding heart. And all of a sudden, that fool becomes understanding. Jesus, do you realize how powerful this is? Amen?
Amen.
I don't want to be no fool no more, do you?
No.
I don't want to live as though there's no God. And there's many times I live that way, even though I know better. To the degree that I allow a besetting sin, or to the degree that I allow the thing that does so easily hinder or thwart my progress, I'm not being mindful of God, am I? I'm being mindful of other things. They're entering in and they're choking that rhema that God gave me that was at the cost of His Son. Amen? And I'm allowing it to be choked out. Amen? But I don't get into condemnation about that. I just made a decision. That's not me. I ain't doing that no more. I was dumb all day, but I'm done being dumb now, right? I'm not dumb anymore. Right now, in this moment, is the day of salvation. Today, as Doris said, is the moment of salvation. Right now, I'm not going to be dumb anymore. Wisdom is crying out to me.
Yes.
I mean, I could say I don't know about you, but I do know about you. He is crying out to you.
Yes.
Amen? Yes. Wisdom's crying. I don't have to look hard. Now, let's keep on going back to where we were. Verse 16. By me princes rule and nobles and all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me. That was one of the things that I began to do when I was a child. I began to say out of my mouth, I love you, wisdom. You are my best friend. You are my sister. I love you. I love you. Wisdom, I love you. And at first it was just saying words. But you know, after a little bit, God began to create rhema inside of my heart. Amen. That what I was saying was not a confession of faith because I had no faith. What was I doing? I was really just meditating in my heart. I was turning something over. And what did God do? He began to give me what the verse that Rob read said earlier. The meditation of my heart shall bring me the understanding. Why? Because I'm being diligent over what I have. All I have is logos. I can't create rhema out of that. So what can I do? Be faithful with what I have. Logos. Take that logos and begin to meditate it. Murmur it to yourself. Make it the focus of your thoughts. And what will God do? He'll give you understanding. Won't he?
Yeah.
He will. He'll breathe rhema into that. He'll turn it from logos to rhema. He'll turn stones into bread. Amen? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out his mouth. Amen? And he'll turn it into that, won't he? Yes, he will. You bet he will. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Oh, he didn't use a diligent word, did he? I think he did, didn't he? So this does take something on your part, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, it does. Riches and honor with me. Enduring riches. This does not mean gold and silver, does it? Because how long is that going to endure? I mean, the book of Proverbs is loaded with statements saying that doesn't last very long.
No.
In fact, many times they make themselves wings and fly away.
Yes.
Isn't that true? Yes. What is enduring riches? Knowing him.
Yes. Right.
I assure to you, it's knowing God.
Yes. No.
Absolutely. Riches and honor with me. Not the kind of honor that man gives. Oh, man will honor you when you get a big fat wallet. But it's all superficial garbage, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you notice God's not impressed by how much money you got. Because he owns all of it. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
But who you? So, what kind of honor you think wisdom is trying to provoke you to want? The honor that comes from God. What do you think Jesus said? Remember what Jesus said? How could you ever enter into relational trust, you who seek honor from man? Well, I'll tell you, that's a big statement. If you're seeking to be honored by man, you have cut yourself off from relational trust. You can't get there. God will say, you want to get honor from man? Great, but you can't get honor from me at the same time. So have fun with that. Right? If you ever come to the end of yourself, which you will, that road's a bumpy one. You're going to be in pigsty before long, and then you're going to come to yourself. Right? And you're going to dust yourself off and be determined. What we just read a moment ago, right? If you'll just be determined. Enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Yes, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of the righteous in the midst of the paths of justice, that I might cause those who love me to inherit true wealth, that I might fill their treasuries. Jesus. I said, that's awesome, isn't it? Amen. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. That means this is not just an attribute of God. It's something outside of him. It's something he possessed. It's not talking about his character. Yeah, there is a part of God's character that is clearly wise. But this is the spirit of wisdom. It's something he possessed. He owns it. Like he owns you. Amen? It's not who he is. It's something he owns. Are you listening to me? Let's sink into your cranium. This isn't hard. For the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. Before his works of old. That means before there was ever a world, God possessed the spirit of wisdom. Amen. I have been established from everlasting. Word established essentially means brought forth. That means it had a beginning. It means it can't be God. Because God never had a beginning. It was brought forth. From everlasting. From the beginning. Before there was ever an earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no foundations abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled. Before the hills, I was brought forth. While yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, or the primeval dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was right there with him. God, that's just so cool. When he drew a circle over the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above and he strengthened the foundations of the deep. Well, we're walking through Genesis, aren't we?
Yeah.
Isn't that right? He says, when he assigned to the sea its limits, right? So that the waters could not transgress its commands. When he marked out its the foundations of the earth, then I was right beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily his delight. Rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. God, I tell you, this is just awesome. Now therefore, now that you get some of this past history between God and me. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man. You want to be that guy?
Yeah.
You want to be that woman?
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to what he says. Blessed is the man who listens to me, who watches daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. You see a distinct difference between them and the ones he has to go out to the marketplace to cry out to. They see, there's also a difference between the other disciples and the Thomas, right? The Thomas had to have Jesus come to him and show him and invite him. Go ahead and put your fingers in the holes. But Jesus did come, didn't he? And Thomas did believe it was true saving faith, wasn't he? But what did he forfeit? A blessing. What did Jesus say? Blessed are those who see and believe without seeing. Isn't that right? And wisdom is saying, you know, blessed are those who come to me and I don't have to come to them. Well, I want to be there. I mean, it's good enough for wisdom to come to you, but I want the blessing too. How about you? So I'm going to wait at its doors. I'm going to learn this at 12. I just made the I had no idea where these doors were, but I was determined to camp there. I'm waking up and I'm saying, wisdom, knock, knock, knock. I don't know where the heck you are, but I'm knocking on your door. You're not looking for me today. I'm looking for you. Talk to me. I had no idea what I was doing, but it worked. God's good, isn't he? Listen. He says, hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life. Or in other words, finds the knowledge of God. Whoever finds me finds God. Not because wisdom here is God, but wisdom, what does it do? Jesus Christ has been made unto us wisdom from God. Amen? Okay? And obtains favor from the Lord. Well, can you see why this is a good thing? But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. He who hates me loves death. Well, I am done being dumb. I love wisdom. Amen?
Yeah.
I love wisdom. And what is wisdom 101 going to teach, Mark?
The fear of the Lord.
And we learned tonight that the fear of the Lord is to hate
evil.
Amen? Hate it.
False
the false way.
Right.
Pride and arrogance. And the evil way I hate. Right?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Thank you, Lord. So are you learning something?
Yeah.
And in the middle of that, what did we read earlier? What's our key verse for, that perks up our ears for listening? He talks about that in there is health of all and strength for our bones. Amen?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for that. But that's not the reason why I'm doing it. Amen? Isn't that true? I'm doing this because right in the middle of this is honoring God. Amen. Because we're all about that, aren't we?
Mm.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.